Amen. Let's read that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, know not to eat. You may be seated. May the good Lord add His blessings to the reading of the Scripture. Please pray for me. The more you pray, the easier it'll be. I want to say I have, sure I've read this verse of Scripture before, but it's never stood out to me. A few things that have that are in this verse. And just by God's help tonight, just by the way of introduction, let me say, through study and through some things that I have come over today, amen, or particularly one, the fields of psychology and sociology, amen, both are, today, they're king on the ideal, an idea of teaching us how to live with all kinds of people. Now, I'm talking about psychologically and sociologically, amen. They tell us how to deal with people, how to deal with all types of people. Everybody and I mean, really, they tell us how to tolerate our differences. Everybody's not alike. Everybody's different. Now, if you're saved, you're saved, but each person in here has a different personality. Amen. Because sometimes our character is different. Now, it ought to be a godly character, but sometimes, amen, it varies. I mean, especially in our interpersonal relationships. They are trying to teach us how to live with all kinds of people. Now, I know we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And I believe this verse tells us right there that we're not of this world and that we need to come out from among, amen, the world. We need to come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The Bible teaches us that. Somebody said, what do you mean be separate? Preacher, I got to live and I got to work with certain people that's not Christian people. Well, I believe God understands that, but that's different having to be in a workplace with them. All God's people's there. But, I mean, there's lots of literature, they tell me. There's lots of literature on these things. I mean, some of it could be Christian related, amen, and have a Christian perspective. It instructs us on how to put up with know-it-alls. Anybody know people that are know-it-alls? They tells us how to put up with people that know it all, people that complain a lot, those that are bullies or manipulators, amen, or any other number of groups. They teach us how to handle that, how to amen, live with it or tolerate it. And I believe some of that's good and well, but let me say this. Scripture teaches us to love one another. Let me say amen to that. Scripture teaches us we're to love one another. I don't believe we have to love the sin that somebody is partaking in, but the homosexual you need to love. The sinner you need to love. Amen. So he says love one another. Paul in Ephesians 4, chapter 4 and verse number 2, amen, even goes so far to command us to forbear. He says forbearing one another. In other words, to tolerate each other's weaknesses. Amen. Does your husband have a weakness? Don't answer that. Does your wife have a weakness? Amen. If they do, we're to tolerate those, aren't we? If you're going to live together, you got to tolerate. And not just that, if you're going to live in society, amen, you're going to go to the same church, amen, as everybody else goes to, amen, then you've got, it teaches us to tolerate other people's weaknesses. Now, I didn't say sin. But weaknesses, amen. And we all have certain weaknesses, amen. Now let me say this. Not only that, Colossians 3, verse 13. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In other words, you're to forgive that person that asks you to forgive them. Amen. If they say, forgive me, you need to forgive them. All God's people said. In Romans 5, 15 and verse number 1, the apostle even expresses his teaching amen, in terms of Christian maturity. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. What is a Christian, a strong Christian, supposed to do? We're supposed to bear, amen, each other's burdens. All God's people said. And not to please ourselves, the Bible says. We are to help the weak. That's what our job is. In other words, you see somebody that's not, amen, strong in an area, it's your duty, amen, as a Christian to try to help that person and strengthen that one, amen, in the Lord. Let me get where I'm going. How many believe a spirit of harmony, amen, is critical in the work of the Lord? A spirit of harmony is critical in the work of the Lord. I didn't know how to title what I'm going to preach on tonight. Amen. But I want us to notice this verse, amen, tonight. There are some kinds of folks, amen, we're not to tolerate. There are some people that we're not to tolerate. Maybe that's the title. Some things not to tolerate, or some people that we're not to tolerate. Now, first of all, amen, you're to love everyone. You're to be kind to everyone. Amen. You should show Christian love, amen, to your fellow neighbor. And I said a while ago, we love the sinner, but we don't love the sin. Amen. I love that drunkard. Amen. I love that thief that might steal from me. I don't like what he does. I won't like if he comes to my house and breaks in and steals. All God's people say it. You ought to love that murderer. All God's people say it. You're God's people. We're to love. Amen. To love one another. But we're not to love the sin. But there's some kind of folks we're not to tolerate. Listen to these. Hey, I believe these are inspired words. Listen to this verse again. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. How much plainer can you get in the Word of God? Now, you'd have some theologians that would probably try to explain that verse away. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, if a person says he or she is saved and still lives in a lifestyle of iniquity and evil, you better be on guard. Anybody here know people that says they're saved, but they live in sin? I figured you did. Is anybody, you know people tonight that say they're born again, but they live an evil life? You better be on guard of those kind of people. All God's people say it. Why? Why is that important, preacher? Listen, in verse number 11, if they're called brethren, ain't that what the Bible says? If they call, that is called a brother, and they still commit immorality, they still drink alcohol, they still, amen, speak abusively, they still worship other gods, they still steal, they covet. He says, do not keep company with them. All God's people said. Can't get no plainer than that, can we? Why am I having to preach this now? I don't know, but I believe it's good for us. This is some things and some people not to tolerate. Some of you may mention that you know people that says they're Christian, but they live a sinful life. Oh, by the way, let me say this. Fornication and adultery involve sexual sins forbidden by Scripture. You know you got wife swapping going on today? That's not godly. Hey, probably some of them are sitting in churches, amen, hey, claiming that they're saved, claiming that they're Christian. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. Fornication is a sin. Adultery is a sin. God forbids those things, and we're not going to get into all of that, I don't think. But modern day people in this crowd calls fornication and adultery affairs. Amen. You know what God calls it? Sin. Had one lady look at me one time and said, do you even know what fornication means? I think I do, amen. And I think because I did and because I preached it, amen, she knew I knew what it meant because she left church because I preached it.
all God's people said. You just watch your lead because she's doing it. All God's people said.
Person she had living with her said, that's my border. Hogwash. I ain't the brightest bulb in the pack, but I, all God's people say, I ain't a dummy neither. Amen. You don't put yourself in positions to where you'll commit sin. You say, preacher, you judged her. I'm not judging her just to the fact, amen, if she wasn't guilty, she wouldn't have left church. Am I right or wrong? Fornication. At sex before marriage. Adultery is sex after marriage with someone rather than your husband or wife. Oh, and by the way, don't us get too spiritual, amen, when the Bible says, amen, if you look upon a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery in your heart. He said, what do you mean, preacher? You don't have to have physical relations with a person to commit adultery in here. Uh-oh. We don't like to hear that sometimes, do we? Somebody says, well, preacher, it ain't a sin to look. I got news for you. It's a sin. Because 9 times out of 10, when you look and you don't turn away, amen, then guess what? Amen. Lust. See, if David would have been out doing what he's supposed to have been doing, fighting the battle, you remember David? Amen. He stayed home that night. He let his boys go on out and do the fighting for him. And he stayed at home, looked across the courtyard, and there was Bathsheba on the rooftop bathing herself. Well, somebody said, well, preacher, what was wrong with that? Well, if David would have turned his head, now we all see things we don't want to see sometimes. Amen. That's my wife. We'll be riding down the road, amen, on these sunny days, and there'll be women, amen, outside in nothing, laying in their yard. And somebody help me. Amen. My wife said, don't look over there. Amen. You know, that's the craziest thing. You tell them not to look and what they do. But if David would have just been doing what he was supposed to have been doing, amen, hey, he wouldn't have gotten in trouble. Guess what? He didn't just look. David, I believe, he looked, he seen, the Bible says he seen her, amen, but if he'd have turned his head and walked away, amen, he wouldn't have led. But guess what? I believe he looked again. Or he kept looking. And then lust. Then he partook. He had her sent to him. Then you know the remainder of the story. I'm saying, listen to me. Hey, fornication and adultery involve sexual sins. And they're forbidden by the Scripture. Oh, by the way, somebody said, oh, but preacher, all the churches are doing and all they're doing all this swapping and all this kind of stuff. I hope they ain't, because I'll say this, if churches do it, they ain't a church. Hey, and if the churches are doing, the preacher ain't getting up a preaching against it. Amen. Hey, you got too many skip preachers this day and time. Amen. Got a yellow streak running up their back. Amen. They get up and want to appease the people. Let me tell you something. Sin is sin, and it always will be sin. I'll just say tonight, amen. Listen, idolatry involves allowing anybody or anything to assert God's place in our life. In other words, anything that's taking place of God. Amen. Sometimes I wonder, amen, who is the God of our lives? Amen. Because we allow, hey, and by the way, this ain't because people, amen, lay out and do other things. Oh yeah, those things that those people do that lay out of the house of God, that's a God to them. No, I'm not talking about work. Somebody help me. Did you have to be on your job? But I'm talking about that they could be here, but they allow something else to keep them at home. You know what that is? That's a God in front of them. These people play golf on Sunday morning at church time. Amen. That little ball and golf club's their God. Help me here. What, preacher, you ain't got no right to say that. Sure you do. Sure I do. What do you mean I don't have a right? Amen. Because anything that, amen, that's above God in our lives and it takes place of God is a God. You heard me give this illustration one time. I preached it, amen, on The Death of Common Sense. I believe I preached entitled that one time. How a preacher, amen, before the Sunday morning service, he had a golf time, tee off time. And guess when it was? At the local country club. It was a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Now, I said, this has been told as the truth. You know what he said he done? Amen. He said he had a dummy made of himself and his faith. And said that he had his message on recorder. And said about 10 o'clock, a little bit before, amen, time him to preach, or 11 o'clock on that morning, said they'd push that, take that dummy there, sit him in the front of the congregation, turn the recorder on, amen, his face there, amen, made up dummy, and they play him a preaching the sermon for that Sunday morning. Now, first of all, if the people's that naive, but I'm going to tell you something. You said, preacher, that was not told as a joke. No, it was told, if I ain't mistaken, as a true story. Well, first of all, amen, I ain't trying to call. I'll call it as a sin. That preacher's dumber than I thought he was. All God's people said. You shouldn't call a preacher dummy. We ain't much of a preacher. Amen. If he wants to go golfing instead of preaching the Word of God and trying to get somebody born again. Am I right? Hey, I mean, listen to me. Anything involving adultery involves allowing anybody or anything more. Hey, I love my wife, but she ain't before God. I love my mom and dad, but they're not before God. I love my daughter, but she's not, amen, taking God's place. Amen? Oh, listen, not only that, to rail. One said it's to speak abusively. Boy. In other words, to slander or criticize sharply or severely. Let me say this, amen. There's one thing I like around my house, and that's peace. You like peace around your home? I like peace, amen. And I don't like speaking abusively. I thank God for my wife, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you said, preacher, you don't ever have an argument? I didn't say that. I ain't going to get into this one, amen. But I will say this. As a lady told my wife one time, me and my husband ain't argued in 27 years of their marriage. I wonder if they know what the definition of argue is. And all I can say is glory to them, amen. Praise God, amen, for them. That's all I can say. But I thank God for... Thank God I ain't got a railing woman. Bible calls them a brawling woman. All God's people said. And the Bible says it's better to be on the corner of the housetop than in the house with a brawling woman. All God's people said. You say, why? Because that top, the corner of that top of that, the corner of that housetop, it's going to be more peaceful than if you was in. Boy, it's still good. Everybody say amen right there. Praise the Lord. Hey, and by the way, to be a drunkard is self-explanatory, isn't it? He gives us things here. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. In other words, if he says he's a Christian and he's doing these, amen, sexual sins, if he's committing adultery, if he's committing fornication. You know, I've had people, amen, that had that audacity. Amen. And I'm not really say it to me. Amen. But I've had another preacher tell me. He's not pastoring now. A free will pastor or preacher now. And he said, when I was pastoring, he said, I had a certain other free will preacher tell me. Amen. He said, I asked him point blank. He said, if I go down to South Carolina across the state line and I mess up with another woman. Now this was a pastor of a church. A free will church. Amen. Hey, glory. I ain't going to get no further than that. Amen. Said, this preacher friend of mine said, I ask you, if you go down here across state line and have an affair with another woman, and God comes back while you're having an affair or while you're sleeping with that other woman, he said, are you going to heaven? He said, if I've been saved, I am. I challenge anybody to show me that Bible. I challenge you. Hey, I challenge you before you get out of this service tonight. Amen. Come up here and tell me. that a man can do that, amen, and God agree with it in these words in the Holy Book, I challenge you. I tell you, you won't find it. Sin ain't entering to heaven. That's called an adultery. Amen. Amen. That's called, hey, listen, not only, boy, why am I doing, he said, if any of these be called a brethren, be a fornicator, a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard. Some people think it's all right to take their social drinks. But you heard me quote it many times. Wine is a mortal strong drink, is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. An extortioner is one who steals by force. One said it's one, it's armed robbery, for example. Amen. Hey, he steals by force. Amen. He said, if you have anybody that says their brother and does these things, to not keep company. In other words, that means do not hang around with them. Help me. That means don't be around them. Don't associate with them. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Paul is talking about professing Christians who are living lives of hypocrisy, professing Christians who are living lives of deceit, amen. It says avoid them. He's telling us do not tolerate them. In other words, you're not to give, hey, you're not really to give them the time of day. How many times has people has, I've had people to come up to me in my ministry and say, preacher, I work with people, amen, that say they're Christian people and they do things that's not right. I even had one person tell me one time, so-and-so goes up after church and on their job, they cuss like a sailor. Well, the Bible doesn't, here, preacher doesn't say anything about cursing. How many believes that Paul is trying to tell us and the Lord's trying to tell us to avoid them? They say, I'm Christian, but they do these things. I'm saved, but they do these things. We don't need to, they're hypocrites what they are. A hypocrite is somebody that is deceitful. Amen. And they're claiming to be one thing and they're the opposite. We don't need to tolerate them. The Bible says don't even tolerate them. Avoid. The Bible says avoid. Well, not to keep company. They'll hurt you spiritually is what they'll do. You've heard those say, if you lay down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. And that's a little, you know, little saying you've heard me quote before and you've heard other people quote. But you know what? Think about that. That analogy is good to this verse. He said, these people that say they're a brother and are committing these things, these people, amen, that say they're Christian and they're walking deceitful lives, they're walking in hypocrisy. I mean, they're saying one thing and doing another on their job. Sunday they'll get up and they'll shout. Sunday they'll get up and they'll praise the Lord. Sunday they'll say amen to the preacher. Amen. Wednesday night they'll say amen if you get them back on Wednesday night. Now, help me. He says, I believe he's trying to say, amen, hey, don't keep coming to it, avoid them. Notice that Paul even commands us not to eat with that crowd. Boy, I never really seen that. The Lord's saying, if you know that one's claiming to be a Christian and they're not a Christian, you're not even to sit down to a meal. Well, preacher, that's going a little bit contradictory to the Word of God, isn't it? Jesus ate with sinners, didn't he? What are you saying, preacher? Because, first of all, God's Word don't never contradict itself. Amen. And Christ was trying to win them. What he was trying to do here, Paul was trying to tell us, we need to separate from them or lest they're going to be a bad influence on you. Oh, you hear people all the time, well, maybe I can win them over. You know what the deal is? 9 times out of 10, they'll get you. You won't win them. You'll be participating in their sin. Christ was holy. He was God. He was without sin. But he was a man and he could sit down with a sinner and not commit sin. Because, somebody help me. What he's saying is you need to not tolerate those people because if you get around them, their sin will rub off on you. Because when they say something, amen, that's off color, that's not Christian, and you laugh at it, you've sinned. That means with the preacher. Better be careful what we laugh at during the day. These old off color jokes, we better be careful how we laugh at that. People trying to get you to laugh and it's not godly. Better be careful, because if you laugh at it and you agree with it, you're just as guilty. Oh my. Angie, would you come to the piano? They'll hurt you spiritually. How many say amen to that? I believe that's what Paul's trying to say. He says, not to keep company. And he said, with such an one, no, not to eat. My, my, my. You said, preacher? Oh, by the way, let's back up there and put that in perspective. This was sinners Christ was sitting down to. This was people, Christians, amen, that no doubt had been saved, all God's people said. But they were living hypocritical lives. They had backslid on the Lord and they was committing sin in their life, all God's people said. Hallelujah. Not to eat with the crowd. Don't even have a meal with them. You know, I guess to put it in a nutshell, old saying goes, the Bible here covers our lives in several different key areas. It covers our sexual habits. Amen. It covers our social habits. And it covers our supper habits. Oh, God, people say it. It covers our eating habits. I've never seen that. Truly, we're to glorify Christ in everything we do. He's trying to tell us, glorify God in everything. You cannot glory, 9 times out of 10, you can glorify God, amen, with sinners. But these people, amen, that are claiming brothers that are called brothers before you, and they're committing these things, and they're living hypocritical lives, you better beware of those. You need to avoid them. You need to separate yourself from them. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I believe He's saying in our, hey. In other words, of all of life's aspect in these verses of Scripture, amen, in all of it, our sexual habits, our social habits, our supper habits, all of these things, we need to do everything we need to do it all to the glory of God. And if we can't do it, it ain't right. I want us to stand at our feet, like for every head to be bowed. That's the message God gave me. And I feel like I needed to bring to your hearts tonight. Like for every head bowed, every eye closed. Some things and some people not to tolerate. And I don't know why I had to preach this, but let's be reminded we need to love one another. Let's be reminded, amen, that we're not to have fellowship. We're not to even eat and keep company. If they're called a brother and they're a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner. Tonight, if there's somebody needs to pray, does anybody need to pray? Need to come and just ask God for help and ask God for strength.
Maybe you're in situations that you're around folks like this. You're around people that are like that. They may be called brother. Oh, and by the way, I try my best, and I still fail at it. We need to be careful who we call brother. You know? Well, sometimes we might be calling the devil brother. Tonight, I wonder if anybody needs to come and pray and ask for strength. Anybody? This altar's open tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message. I thank you for speaking to my soul. I ask God that I'll never be guilty, dear God, of any of these, dear Father, Lord. And that's my heart's desire, is to live holy and acceptable, Lord, unto Thee. God, help us, God, that when we're all around people, God, we're all around folks that are claim to be one thing but yet live another. Help us, God, not to tolerate what they're doing. Not even tolerate it, God. Not to eat with them, but God, pray for them, love them, dear Father. But God, because we suffer, Lord, the effects of maybe, Lord, being led over to and pulled to their way. God, help us, God, to keep strong, God, to be of good courage, Lord, and help our strength, dear God, in you, to Lord, to keep, Lord, strong in you. Lord, that's my heart's desire. Now, Lord, bless this congregation. Lord, I thank you for each one that's come out on a Wednesday night. Lord, I ask you to bless Sunday morning service. We'd see souls saved for your glory. Lord, I pray that you give us the words to preach. And God, bless Sunday night service. And Lord, next Wednesday, Lord, bless all the upcoming services. And we'll love you and praise you for what you are doing that you're going to do. And all of God's people say it.